Hello, welcome to Art Speak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd. Thank you so much for making us a priority and tuning in to 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio, Art Speak Radio, yay. We're here about the arts in Kansas City, and we've got some terrific guests. As always, we always have a room full of wonderful people willing and to share their stories about what's happening in the world in the creative community. Today, I'm going to be talking to painter, sculptor, photographer Kat Husk, poet, writer Samantha Slupski, and folks from Arts KC will be here on the second half of our program. So stay tuned. And hello to the folks who are listening online at www.kkfi.org. I want to begin by introducing Samantha Slupski. Slupski. Oh, my goodness. Samantha Slupski.
Slupski.
Oh, I had it right the first time. Samantha.
I understand.
She is a 23-year-old poet and mental health advocate. She currently serves as the Slam Master for Kansas City Poetry Slam. She's the Executive Director of Poetic Underground and Board Member of Fountain Verse, the Small Press Poetry Festival here in Kansas City. Now, she is an Arts KC Inspiration Grant recipient, a competitor in Texas Grand Slam 2016 and 2017, and she was published through EMP Press in January of this year. And she also has online journals as well. Her main focus is using the power of poetry to save lives. She feels that it is so often that we are left alone in the world, that poetry gives us the chance to reconnect, relate, and heal. She believes poetry can save lives because it saved hers. Welcome.
Hi.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm glad you're back. I know
yes.
we were anxious to have you back on because we want to hear all about Samantha's world. So take it away.
Oh, my world. Well, I don't even know where to start. So as you said, I am an Arts KC grant recipient, which is super amazing, and I'm super grateful for that opportunity because I didn't, when I wrote that grant proposal, I was like, this is my first grant proposal I've ever written. There's no way that I'm going to get it. And then I did. And I think it is truly because people are finally starting to recognize like the importance that poetry has in the world.
Yeah, I would agree. And I want to say congratulations to you for that because,
you know,
it matters. It really does. Mm-hmm. So tell us about the Inspiration Grant. What was your proposal and what's going to happen?
So my proposal was basically to bring in two nationally renowned poets to do workshops and also have features of their own work at Poetic Underground at Uptown Arts Bar. And the two poets that I've chosen, they have some sort of like social activism. I am bringing in Lino Annunciation and Desiree Del Giacomo, and they're both just beautiful humans, beautiful writers, and like I know them on a personal level, and so I know that they're going to come to this city and bring things that people, I believe, need to hear. And I also think it's really important because for so long, Kansas City has just kind of been like a flyover state in terms of touring for artists. And I really wanted to make sure that people knew that there was a space for them here. Mm-hmm. You know, people think of Kansas City and they're like, oh, what, wheat and grass and Wizard of Oz, you know?
Yeah,
and
cow tipping
like,
and that sort of thing.
And I'm like, no. We have a great arts community here, and we have a great poetry community here. And
we really do.
And I've been so grateful to be able to see it grow over the past couple of years, because I've been going to Uptown Arts Bar. In December, it'll be 2 years. And it's just absolutely given me so much life.
Well, the Uptown Arts Bar has been just terrific in bringing new talent, getting people there on stage to sort of, you know, work before an audience if they have never, you know, been in front performing and that sort of thing. Yeah. It's been a really great asset to the to Kansas City area. Now, you're talking about the poets that you're going to bring in. Did I read something that there's going to be some workshops?
Yes. So those workshops, they're going to be 2 hours long, and both of the poets have their own workshops that they're bringing. I don't know any information about those yet.
But do you know where they're going to be held?
So they're going to be at Uptown Arts Bar. The first one is actually on November 8th from 5 to 7 p.m. And that one is going to be hosted by Lino, and he is coming from College Station, Texas, and he just got done touring a few months ago, and he also is like a Write Bloody publishing finalist, which Write Bloody is a publishing company based out of Austin, Texas, and like they've published like Andrea Gibson, just big names like I love Write Bloody. Yeah. Actually, one of our own local poets, Madison May Parker, she works for them too. So, the whole poetry community, like nationwide, is so connected. And that's something that I'm really grateful for, because it's like, even if I wanted to go travel, like, I know that I have family somewhere else. And I think that that's
making
something,
those connections.
Yeah. And that's something that's really important, because not only is poetry so like, it's such a raw experience, and that's something that I get a lot of praise for, and also a lot of criticism for, is because I find myself being extremely raw, real, and blunt, and like, apparently, I have been crowned the queen of sadness. That is what the friends at Uptown Arts Bar have called
me. Wear it proudly, my friend. Well, you know, but I think, you know, out of that, sometimes some work, really good work, can come out of the pain. And not only just can it be therapeutic, but I mean, sometimes you have to feel something, you have to respond, you have to react to something that sort of irritates you or violates you in a way that, you know, it's like...
Well, and I think that's the important thing about poetry is that, and people, I think, are really starting to realize that it's more than just getting up on stage and... It's connecting, and that's something that us as humans are, it's so important, and I think that a lot of people are scared to connect, and I think a lot of people are scared to open up and create that vulnerability, and I feel like it's been my job to open that space up for people, because I know that I needed it for so long, and then I found it at Poetic Underground, and then I just wanted to keep growing it. And that's been just my, like, first priority in my life.
Yeah, I love that. And I think, you know, by doing that, too, you demonstrate to people that, you know, you can do this. I mean, this is, it's a safe place to really express yourself, you know, through your words. You know, I think that is very helpful to a lot of people. And I think also, you know, with poetry readings and all that, I think we have such maybe a sort of an old-fashioned sense of what a poetry reading is, you know.
I mean, it's so unique every place that you go. And I definitely, like, have traveled, like, parts of the country and seeing how other poetry scenes do it. Like, Poetic Underground, like, absolutely has something unique. And that was something that, like, with my grant, the one thing that I saw that we didn't have was workshops. We had a place for people to come share their work, but we didn't have a place for people to come and get feedback and critique and, like, constructive criticism. And that was something that I really wanted for myself. And so I thought, well, let's just produce that for everybody, you know?
Well, and I see that happening with seasoned poets and writers who work with youth, that, you know, there are those workshops that are in place to help edit and critique and, you know, sort of perform your piece and all of that. I know there's some instruction out there, but I think it's not as... I think it's just a smaller sort of segment of the poetry writing community.
And more often than not, it's academic. And that's not, as someone who does not have a college degree, I just don't, I have a very strange, like, relationship with academia and, like, the way that they present writing, because I feel like if I would have been trained academically, I would not be the same writer that I am. But, you know, that doesn't mean that I'm any less educated.
That's interesting. I like that.
Like, just because, I don't know. So yeah, I thought that workshops, it's so difficult to find that critique that's not in an academic setting, mm-hmm. and also that is, like, affordable, because that's, you know, a lot of writing workshops are expensive, and they only take place on the coasts, or if they are in, like, the Midwest region, they're hundreds of dollars to go. And so it was like, I need to create something, you know, accessible for everybody.
Well, and to that, I will have to say that just briefly, I glanced at something that a friend had sent me. Johnson County Library, I believe, is doing maybe a 2-day writing workshop that starts November 2nd, maybe. But anyway, I can find out more information about that and get back. But I know it's an all day of edit and, you know, sort of broken out sessions and that sort of thing. So
yeah.
I'll have to look into that.
It's going to really, the thing that, like, I think is important for just, like, writing workshops, poetry in general, is, like, being able to connect it back to real life, because we had a poet come in town, his name is Bill Moran, and he did a writing workshop, and, you know, his workshop was almost not even about the writing itself, it was just the process and trying to not be scared to put yourself in a vulnerable space. And because, you know, really at the end of the day, like, yes, editing and all of that stuff is very important, but really, like, being as honest as you can on the page is the thing that's the most important. And I
like
think that that's
yeah.
something that a lot of people are too worried about, what the edits and all that stuff, when it's like, no, just if you're telling the truth on the page, then the work will speak for itself.
Beautiful. If you just tuned in, this is Art Speak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd. I'm talking with Samantha Slupsky, who's a poet, mental health advocate. She's talking about poetry and the creative community and workshops and oh, so very much. Samantha, would you care to read a poem to us?
Yeah, I can do that. I guess I can preface it a little bit. I suffer from anxiety. That is, like, my main battle that I kind of deal with every single day. And I've been going through a really weird journey, like, learning to cope with it and all that comes with that. And so I wrote this poem, and I'm bringing it to Texas Grand Slam in just a couple of weeks, which is a really exciting competition. So, it is a Saturday, and I was woken up at 8 a.m. by my friend because I am cat-sitting, and I needed to get the keys to her apartment. I immediately regret making this commitment because it means I actually possess some responsibility for the day. It is now 8:30 a.m., and I'm trying not to crawl back into bed and make home here. Instead, I sit in the chair next to my bed and pretend this is me being productive. If I'm not in bed, that's a victory, right? I make my French press coffee with my roommate in the other room. I wonder if you can hear the thoughts inside of my head, because some days I feel like they are shaking around so loud up there that there's no way other people can't hear them, or there's no way he can't notice that I decided that a piece of toast is all I can stomach today, even though I'm a 2 eggs a morning kind of gal. Anxiety is funny that way. Steals all your routines away from you and convinces you that every healthy thought you have for that day is too much work, or your depression steals your ability to be a human being, so you decide to be a pile of laundry that's been sitting on your clothing chair for days, and it doesn't matter how wrinkly they get from being untouched, it's better staying untouched than actually having to exist in my own breath. My brain is telling me that because my ex-boyfriend couldn't bear the wreckage of this body, there's no way anyone will ever be able to love me as me again. But this is my anxiety being a pathological liar again. It is always telling me things that aren't true, but it says them so many times it's gotten to the point where it's hard not to believe them. And I know there will come a time when my body will try and find a way to dig into itself. This is what I like to call a fight or fight situation. There's no flight here, no escape. Sit in this wreckage with me, hope I can dig myself out. It is Saturday, and it is now almost 11 a.m., and I know I should go shower or get my tires changed or eat some breakfast or drink a glass of water or something, but all I want to do is crawl back in bed, allow it to swallow me whole. And this is the depression talking. It does nothing but convince my body it is a ghost that haunts itself, and the anxiety in me convinces me that I am possessed. I am always awaiting a seance. Eventually, Something will have to bring me back from the dead.
Wow, I love that.
Thank you.
I love that, Samantha. That's beautiful. It's such a powerful piece. And I think as you were reading it, I was nodding my head, yes, check that one off, check this one off. And all. You mentioned that you're going to Texas. Where
yes.
in Texas are you headed?
I am going to College Station, Bryan, Texas, that area. Texas A&M is located there. But they have an amazing poetry scene, Check Poetry. They put on this big regional festival every year, and I went last year and fell in love, and so I was like, I have to go again. So.
You know, there's some really wonderful poetry festivals around the, mm-hmm. the country, around the world for that matter, but I don't know why we are kind of missing that opportunity.
We'll get there. Like I said, we're still kind of a flyover spot, but I'm going to make sure that does not stay reality.
Yeah. So. Well, I know, you know, because of all the media attention about Kansas City as far as, you know, the art scene, the music and all that, I think we are on people's radars. And, and, of course, the cost of living and how affordable it is and all that. Mm-hmm. I think it's growing. I think it's
Absolutely.
Really grown in the past few years. Mm-hmm. People like you that helped, you know, nurture this along. Oh, please tell our listeners your website for more information, or if they want to read some of your work. Or
SamanthaSlupskiPoetry.com. I have some videos up there. You can read all about my the grant workshops, all those things on there. So,
And you know what? I think you should photograph yourself with a crown on your head if you're going to be the queen of sad or king of sad.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, own it. You know, I love that you have a sense of humor about it. I mean,
you know, it's who I am.
Yeah. Well, you know, rather than denying it, just sort of embracing all the, you know, bumps and warts and mm-hmm. all of that.
Right.
I mean,
right,
you know.
Absolutely.
It's not always easy.
It's important to stay vulnerable, even when it's hard.
Stay vulnerable, my friends. So, now, any published work coming out anytime soon? I know you've had this work that came out in January.
Yeah, I've been slowly working on some stuff. I actually have a little small spring tour planned.
Oh, great.
Trying to go to Omaha and Springfield and Salina, and who knows, maybe I'll just keep going and just never stop touring, but I know that's not a reality, but one day.
But, you know, I think it's really a good thing to connect with some colleges too, because you know that's a good venue mm-hmm. to have a you know, an audience that
colleges are so important.
They have to be there for the grade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Extra credit, you guys. Come listen to this poet. Yeah.
Very good. Yeah. Samantha Slupski, poet, mental health advocate. Congratulations on your Arts KC Inspiration Grant. Good luck in Texas. Will you come back and tell us
Absolutely.
More about that?
Absolutely. I will tell you all about it.
Yeah, we would love that. Yeah. Very good. We're going to take a break with ArtSpeak Radio right now. I'm going to play a little something for Nick. Here you go. This is Maria Vasquez-Boyd. You're listening to ArtSpeak Radio on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Thanks for tuning in with us or listening online, kkfi.org. Yay! So we're going to continue with the program here. Up next, we've got Kat Husk, who is an award-winning and nationally exhibited artist. She was the recent subject of the short documentary Catherine Uncensored, and her artwork and poetry has been published in various literary journals. Now, Kat's work, activist work, has led to numerous lectures and presentations on intersectionality and issues facing the disability community, while her current focus is bringing awareness to the lack of accessibility within the Kansas City art scene. So I want to say welcome to Kat.
Oh, thank you so much.
Welcome, Kat. I'm so happy that you're here. And, you know, we just touched on some things that I wanted to have you back and go more mm-hmm. into detail. But I want to start off about your work. Tell our listeners about your work, the sort of imagery, the work that you do, the subject matter. And
I use a lot of, I'm a conceptual painter and photographer, and I use figures in my work to represent myself, basically, from mm-hmm. my own experience. And those figures are usually put up against a very colorful background. I use a lot of pull a lot of symbolism from iconography, from even, you know, traditional Jewish theology, and use those two as a way to describe my experience with disability.
Now, in these paintings, would you say they're more of a self-portrait? Or are you taking yourself out of that, but just sort of portraying what your challenges
I would de- I would definitely
are.
Call them self-portraits, even though all of my work is of other models.
Right.
I feel like it makes more of an impact, and I'm able to kind of get past that critical self-eye if you are doing a self-portrait.
Yeah, yeah.
If I'm painting or photographing other people, that I feel like I can capture the stronger emotion without being overly critical about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I know that, you know, your work is very beautiful and very figurative. What is the message that people will take away when they look at your work? What is it that you hope they understand, or questions that they ask?
Well, I think, and I hope, that when people look at it, that they start empathizing and relating to what it means to be disabled now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, art is an equalizer, and it is an easy way for people to experience things that they wouldn't otherwise experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I want them to walk away from my paintings having experienced very strong emotions, either from being made uncomfortable by the painting, which I have a couple of paintings that make people very uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
To feeling deeply moved.
Mm-hmm. I like that. You know, one thing that stuck in my mind when you were here last, although you've exhibited widely across mm-hmm. the country and the world, and all, there are certain limitations that you have mm-hmm. yourself, where your paintings can be placed in the gallery, but you physically cannot be in those spaces. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. Basically, most art scenes, and I'm focusing on Kansas City mm-hmm. in particular, since I live here, that are inaccessible to artists with disabilities and patrons with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And that I've had a couple of galleries approach me that have wanted to show my work, but they're up a flight of stairs, and I wouldn't be able to do that mm-hmm. as, you know, just like another artist who uses a wheelchair wouldn't be able to do that either.
Right.
That we have accessibility barriers to artists in the Kansas City community. And when you say, oh, we have an inclusive arts community, and you say you want diversity, and you throw out all of these words that they sound good,
mm-hmm.
but they're not actually being implemented, because when you are an inaccessible space, you're saying that persons with disabilities are not welcome in your space. And that you say, oh, well, we're inclusive and we're diverse and we want everybody to come show with us. But you're then excluding the very people you say that you're including mm-hmm. if you're not accessible.
Have you received any pushback? Have you made any attempts to help people understand that, you know, this includes me? I am being excluded, and others, you know, with disabilities, we cannot get into these spaces or.
Yeah, I've most of my activist work is surrounding, you know, bringing attention to these issues with venues mm-hmm. and with businesses.
And what has been the response?
There's been a fairly mixed response.
Mm-hmm.
Some places are really amenable to being told that they're not accessible.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, sometimes they'll admit that they didn't know mm-hmm. and, you know, explain to them that, you know, there's like matching grant programs and tax incentives for them to become accessible. And so I've had a number of groups and venues that have gone that route. But then there's the large majority that kind of basically put up their hands like, well, we can't change things, you know, or we're a historic building. Mm-hmm. We can't do anything mm-hmm. about mm-hmm. it. And that's just not the case, that they're breaking the law. Mm-hmm. And whether you're a historic building or not, you still have to comply with it. And everybody likes to, oh, we grandfathered in yeah, this yeah. building, and that law doesn't exist.
What would you like to see change rather than, you know, other than the physical space? I mean, it seems there's a sort of a mindset that needs to mm-hmm. be addressed.
Yeah, I think that it's this kind of a complacency where they don't want to try. Mm-hmm. They look at it as, oh, there couldn't be that many disabled people out there. I mean, so what if a couple of people can't come and you know, they fail to see that, well, if you're not accessible, that's why they're not there. Mm-hmm. That we, as a, you know, the disabled community, show up to places if they're accessible. You don't see us if you're not accessible. And you don't know that we have tried to access your place because we're not there.
Well, I love that in your statement, your artist statement, you say that your intention is to break down the barriers of how disabled bodies are viewed in contemporary art and in society. And mm-hmm. I think that's very powerful.
Yeah, that's generally when people think about, you know, disabled people in the arts, they're thinking about art therapy. And it's a way to dismiss the legitimacy of disabled artists, and that, you know, the conversation that surrounds it is like, oh, well, these people do it because, you know, it helps them and it's therapeutic and, mm-hmm. you know, this is how they deal with their disability because isn't it so hard to be them? And there's this really patronizing narrative surrounding disabled artists. And I want that to go away because people paint and do art for numerous reasons. I mean, as many people as there are, sure, as yeah. many reasons as there are to do art. And to pigeonhole disabled artists into the therapy aspect is a way to dismiss the work and the legitimacy of it. And it basically gives galleries excuses to not make their venues accessible. Well, if they're only doing it for mm-hmm. therapy, you know, they're not serious artists. And that's just not the case. I mean, you can do art for therapy. Mm-hmm. I'm not mm-hmm. in any mm-hmm. way bashing that or yeah. delegitimizing, you know, doing art for therapy, but it's not the only reason that disabled artists make art.
So, you know, as far as the galleries goes, it sounds as though there's really a need for a disabled person to be at the table in planning or as a consultant or, you know, have a presence.
Exactly. And yeah. I offer my services.
And that's Kat Husk. Tell us your website.
Yeah, it's katherinehusk.weebly.com. You can also find me on Facebook. Just search for Katherine Husk and I'll pop up. I'm also on Instagram. And I can be reached via message on either of those platforms.
Yeah. So if you've just tuned in, I'm talking to Kat Husk, who's an award-winning and nationally exhibited artist. Again, she's been the subject of a short documentary, Katherine Uncensored. Her artwork and poetry has been published in various literary journals. And, you know, we're talking about the lack of accessibility within the Kansas City art scene. Mm-hmm. And that will change because it has to,
yeah.
To be inclusive.
It has to. Yeah. It absolutely has to. And one, the fact that it isn't is illegal. And that's, I keep mm-hmm. wanting to stress mm-hmm. the fact that by not being accessible, you are breaking the law. Mm-hmm. The problem is there isn't an enforcement agency in place that makes businesses accessible. Mm-hmm. The onus is on persons with disabilities to sue businesses to make them accessible when it should be businesses want to become accessible. First, because it's the law, and second, mm-hmm. because it's the right thing to do.
Right, right. You know, your work does reflect a bit of that missing puzzle, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and what's happening. Let's see. I'm going to go back to the short documentary, Katherine Uncensored. When did that come out?
That came out a couple of years ago, and it was directed and made by a wonderful person named Daniel Banks. Mm-hmm. Just one of the most talented filmmakers that I've ever met. and had the opportunity to do that for a film festival. And so he interviewed me and really wanted to get the story behind my life, why I do what I do, and the accessibility issues in the art scene here locally.
Now, is that something that we can look up online and maybe, or is it just sort of a...
It was a festival. It was briefly online.
Okay. All right. Because I would be very interested in exploring that more.
I could contact him and see if I can.
Well, and I could see that used as a tool and, you know, in certain galleries as, you know, come learn and understand, you know, Catherine Uncensored.
Yeah.
Do you cuss a lot? Is that why it's uncensored? No, I'm just kidding.
Well, there's lots of nudity, and I do, I can make a sailor blush.
Don't do it right now.
Yeah.
You are just wonderful, Kat Husk.
Thank you.
Yes. And again, let's talk about any upcoming events or receptions or anything that you want to, that's coming in the near future.
I'm actually going to be in the latest edition of Kansas City Voices.
Great.
And so
they're going to be here next month.
Oh, awesome. I'll be at their launch party coming up in, I think it's October 28th. And I'll be exhibiting my piece that's called Because They Want Us to Disappear, that is featured in the magazine.
I love that. I think that's going to be at the Writer's
Place. I think, yeah, it's at the Writer's Place.
Writersplace.org would be the website. And if you could share one more time your website with our listeners.
It's catherinehusk.weebly.com.
Terrific. Is there anything else that we left out that you want to mention?
I think that local galleries need to make a concerted effort to reach out into the community and pull disabled artists, because, you know, when you talk about marginalized groups and underrepresented groups, that you have to sometimes reach out and specifically target them if you want to bring awareness to them. And I think that galleries really need to be doing that and really reaching out in that way, because otherwise, you know, they're missing out on just a diverse range of stories and perspectives that you wouldn't normally get.
We're very lucky to have you here as an advocate, as an activist here in the community. So thank you for that, Kat.
Thank you.
All right. Well, come back anytime.
Thank you. I will.
Terrific. We're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio right after this. And we're back with ArtSpeak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd. You are listening to Alado Negro, who is a performance artist, a singer, songwriter. Got to see him yesterday at the Crossroads KC, and actually had an opportunity to talk with him. Just a brilliant young artist, performer. Next up, we have Lydia Allen, who's a development with Arts KC, the Regional Arts Council here in Kansas City. She is going to talk about anything that's happening with Arts KC. And Arts KC was founded in February 1999. It started as a result of a community-wide planning process facilitated by the Greater Kansas City Community Foundation and supported by the Muriel McBrien Kauffman Foundation. Now, Arts KC has developed programs and services designed to unleash the power of the arts. Now, this includes programs for the arts community, the business community, and services to the civic community. They serve the Johnson and Wyandotte counties in Kansas and Jackson, Clay, Platte counties in Missouri. So welcome, Lydia.
Thank you, Maria. It's really nice to be here.
We love our Arts KC. You do some great work here in the community. And, you know, and Samantha Slupski is a recipient of one of your grants. So, yay.
Yay. Very much yay. That's wonderful.
So, tell me what's happening with Arts KC lately. What do we need to know?
Certainly. Well, Arts KC, in June, at the beginning of June, actually launched a new project called ArtsKCGo.com. It's meant to be the digital cultural portal to the arts. Right now, it's got one capability, but we're adding more. Its current capability, we are the event hosting platform for nonprofit arts organizations who are hosting events throughout the region. So what we're really excited about is expanding the opportunities for small and mid-sized arts organizations to get their messages out to the community to be able to promote what they are doing, because many of those organizations maybe have one full-time staff person,
if they
are fortunate, and a lot of the time are run by very passionate volunteers. And so posting on multiple platforms and trying to get your message out is not always the top priority. It's usually serving the artists you're working with or producing really wonderful programming. And so we want to be able to allow the opportunity for those arts organizations to continue to do what they do best, very well. So by providing the platform to be able to expand their audience reach and their audience diversity, we are hoping that that will be a tool in the Arts KC Go realm.
Wow, good.
So that was launched in June. We've continued to have new adopters, so new users are coming onto the platform from all across the region. We've had a very targeted marketing campaign for it, and are hoping to increase that adoption of users and learn how to best serve our arts community through that tool, that new tool in the tool belt for Arts KC. So a couple of things that are coming up this fall that have been listed in Arts KC Go are actually some really wonderful either free or low-cost opportunities to come out and see a variety of artists and arts organizations. They range from the Symphony and the Lyric down to Paul Messner Puppets and Stone Lion Puppet Theater and individual arts galleries hosting events. So take a look at that if you're interested in getting out to the arts community. And we're really excited, particularly with the folks we have in the studio today, to be announcing that in mid to late December, we'll be launching an artist directory portal, so that if you are an individual artist who's doing work in the community and you want to be able to expand your platform for promotion, Arts KC Go will have that capability. So providing it right now to arts organizations, in December rolling out that new module for individual artists, and then in a future planning in 2018 will be an artist an arts education directory, so that if you're a parent looking for an opportunity for your child in the summer or after school, you might be able to more easily find a place like the Belger Arts Center or Stone Lion, even for one of their build days. So really hoping that's a tool that gets out and used.
What a powerful tool. Now, for more information about everything that's going on, or for artists who are interested in, finding out more about getting aligned with this directory, How do they contact
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. So we have a program manager for this directory. Artists, I would say, hold off for just a minute. We're developing all of it. It'll be launched in mid to late December. So at that point, if there are questions or concerns, we'll be more than happy to kind of work through those, as we have with the arts organizations and posting their events. So artskcgo.com is really one of the best places to go to see how the platform works right now and see how it'll be integrated. And then just reach out to the Arts Council at artskc.org. That'll get you to the person who can best answer your question.
And you still have your Arts KC Lunch and Learn?
We have an Arts KC Luncheon coming up in March 8th. We have an annual awards luncheon where we invite the community to come see companies, artists, organizations that are doing really wonderful work in the arts sector and really doing a wonderful job to support and promote.
And it's a great way to network. It's a great way to reach out to others. Yeah, I love that.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. We'll also be hosting, we're going to be hosting quarterly opportunities to meet and learn more about Arts KC. Our first of those is scheduled in October 18th. I believe it's a Wednesday morning, 8 a.m. at the Arts KC offices. Come and learn more about our programs, meet some of our Arts KC supported artists and organizations, and just see how to support and see how to get involved.
And could we even just kind of like drop by?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, we would love to see you.
Where are you located?
Yeah, so Arts KC, we're at the corner of Southwest Boulevard in Baltimore, just catty corner from the Kemper at the Crossroads location. We are open 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. every day. And we do have a gallery space where if you just want to come in, learn more about either what we do or the artist who's in the gallery space, you may absolutely do that. We're also open every first Friday. So we're open 5 to 8 p.m. on first Fridays. Drop by. You can meet the artist who's work is displayed in the gallery. All of that work is for sale, and we encourage people to come by. They're all local artists, and they change out about every 2 months. So if you wanted to make it a bi-monthly visit, we'd have new work for you to
I
see.
I love that. Well, and speaking of First Friday, we've got one coming up, not this Friday, but the following.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's on tap for that?
Well, we'll have our artist who's displaying in the gallery right now. The show is called Decadence and Decay, and I am blanking on the name of the artist, which is a bit of an embarrassment.
ArtsKC.org.
ArtsKC.org.
We'll give you that information.
And you can get to our events tab, go to the First Fridays tab, and you can see more information about the artist who's up. Deanna Winters.
Ah, Loading.
There we go.
It's all good.
Just needed to talk a little bit more, Maria. Just needed to get it out a little bit.
Well, and if you just joined us, this is ArtSpeak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd talking to Lydia Allen, who's in development with the Arts KC, the Regional Arts Council. It serves as a central hub of information, resources, and support, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So if you've got a question that isn't answered either by going on our website or going to artskcgo.com, if you are an artist or an arts organization who's looking for information or support or resources, That's why we exist. It's why we're here. We're really here to be in service to our arts sector. And that's arts administrators, it's boards of directors for arts organizations, and it's the individual artist, absolutely. So if there's a question or a need or a concern, we absolutely want to be hearing from that community so that we can serve that community better.
And you've been going strong since February 1999, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. And then in 2007, Arts KC started the Arts KC Fund, which is United Arts Fund. And it supports the arts organizations and artists through a competitive grant system. You want to talk about that?
Absolutely, sure. So our Arts KC grant making program was begun in 2007. We make grants available in a totality of dollars between about $450,000 and $500,000 a year. We have three grant making categories, and they include an individual artist category where artists and groups of artists can apply for funding. We really want that to be something that's going to have a catalytic change in an artist's career or a collective's career. So a new body of work or a residency program that is going to have this really great opportunity to propel that career forward, a piece of equipment, something of that nature. So we've funded things where bands have been able to record their first full-length album, maybe with an Arts KC grant, or where a sculptor has been able to purchase that large-scale modeling machine that they needed to be able to get and complete more commissions. Mm-hmm. Something like that, something in the realm of catalytic change in a career. Really seeing artists as entrepreneurs and really seeing artists as the heartbeat of our arts community, kind of that lifeblood of the arts community. We have two other grant-making categories, so that's one. Our second grant-making category is for small to mid-size arts organizations who have ongoing arts programming and need mission support. So it's one of those places where you can come and say, we just need a grant to make sure that we can keep the lights on and ensure that our programs continue to run, that mission-critical support. We also provide grants to social service agencies that have arts programs. So those are places like a Synergy Services, Inc., that is a youth and domestic violence shelter that provides art therapy as part of its programming to the people that it serves. That might not be a mission-critical thing for them in their core mission, but it is a huge piece of the puzzle in serving that population. And otherwise, there would not really be a funding source primarily for something like that. So
folks can find all the criteria, the guidelines, all the information that they need to apply for any of these at your website.
Mm-hmm. ArtsKCGo.org. ArtsKC.org is where you'd find any of that information. You can find our current grant recipient listings. You can find more information about them. We'll actually be encouraging folks to come out to the Kemper Museum tomorrow night.
What's happening there? You tell me.
Yeah. So they're doing a panel discussion with their latest Women to Watch exhibition. Yeah. It's Women to Watch Medals. There are five female artists who are featured in this show. Local female artists. Three of those five are Arts KC supported in some way. So they've either received direct funds from us in a grant, professional development through either a mentorship program or maybe the Now Showing program, or they've received some kind of other promotional support through Arts KC. So they're connected with Arts KC in some way. And we want to even further deepen that connection. We're bringing some Arts KC supporters out to that event to make sure that they're connected not only with the Kemper, but also with those artists who are in our community doing really wonderful work.
Now, is that going to be the Kemper Museum on Warwick or the one here in the Crossroads?
On Warwick. So it's their main location on Warwick. It starts at 5 p.m. tomorrow night and it goes until 7. So 5 to 6 is an open cash bar and networking, and then 6 to 7 is an artist panel discussion led by Executive Director Barbara O'Brien. So it should be a really wonderful evening.
Now, do folks need to make advance reservations or just kind of stop in?
Mm-hmm. Yes. There's an Eventbrite event that the Kemper Museum has put out. So if you get on Eventbrite, search Kemper Museum and maybe October 28th, something like that. Mm-hmm. It's the Women in Metals panel discussion. It's free to attend, but RSVPs are appreciated very much. Still room, so please.
And we would find that on your website too, right?
You would find it actually on the Kemper Museum's website. I'd go to the Kemper Museum's website or to Eventbrite.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot Arts Casey is doing. This is terrific. You know, we're really fortunate. I think Kansas City is well-funded in the arts, you know, as opposed to some of other states that are just kind of limping along. But we're doing pretty well. Mm-hmm. We have
I would say a lot of that is attributed to the personal, private foundation support that we have in our community. The names that you hear all the time, it's not a coincidence. Those are people who've really made the investment in our community and, and particularly in our arts sector and our arts community. Something that we're very much looking forward to sharing with the community in October. October 10th and 11th, we'll be bringing a new arts and economic impact study to the public. We are bringing Randy Cohen, who's the vice president of research for Americans for the Arts. They're our research partner on a national study that happens every 5 years. It's called Arts and Economic Prosperity. Our results for the Kansas City region for the latest study, we'll be having Randy present the results and do a bit of a comparison of where were we 5 years ago, where have we come, and where do we want to be in the next 5 years? Mm-hmm. What are the goals that we want to achieve that we want to see the Kansas City region have gotten to when we see the study again? So we'll be really hoping to engage the community in that conversation and in that process. We're creating some presentation materials that no matter who you are, you can be armed with the information and the resources to be able to go out and be an advocate for your arts sector. We know that the arts have an intrinsic value to us and to our community, but this study really kind of bolsters that by saying the arts also provide this wonderful economic impact. It's this ripple effect of jobs and tax revenue and tourism that means that arts are good for business and they're good for the Kansas City region. So that's some information that we're really going to be excited to bring out. In that study, there's some interesting information about public funding for the arts. And a community the size of Kansas City with the richness and diversity of arts and culture that we have usually has some type of dedicated public funding source. Kansas City has some public funding here and there in different pockets of different communities. You've heard of 1% for art of things, 2% for art, things like that. It's usually localized pretty closely. And so looking at how as a region can we come together to ensure that the assets that we have right now and the community that we have right now continues to thrive and continues to push forward.
I love that. Very good. Very good. Thank you so much, Lydia.
Absolutely.
Is there anything that we might want to... Well, I have a phone number, 816-221-1777.
Yeah, that's our main line. If you've got any questions, we'd love to hear from you. And then a lot of information, as Maria mentioned, can be found on artskc.org, lots and lots of tabs of information, especially about our grant-making programs, especially about our professional development and resources. And then artskcgo.com really is that cultural hub for arts events going on right now. And if you are listening right now and you are the passionate volunteer or employee, administrator of an arts organization that has something coming up, please take a look at that, create a profile, and start posting. We want to make sure that everyone has a chance to know about what you're doing.
Great job. Thank you, Lydia.
Thank you, Maria.
Thank you so much. I want to also thank Samantha Slupski, Kat Husk, Arts KC, Lydia Allen. Next week, October 4th, yes, it's October 4th, yay, October, we'll have Selena O'Neill and Michael Young on the program. Stay tuned next for Jeff Harshberger, Jazz in the Afternoon, followed by Groovy Grant, the old groove meister. He's just a terrific fella. Love. KKFI. You're listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio, and it's time for me to get out of here. So, honey, I'm coming home.